greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018 and the next round of qualifying matches for football's premier event. We'll see qualifiers in Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, Central America, and here in the United States over the next week. In Columbus, Ohio, the USA will host regional rival Mexico on Friday night. The Americans are bidding for their eighth consecutive World Cup appearance. But because of injury, the USA has lost one of its top young strikers, 22-year-old Jordan Morris, who plays for the Seattle Sounders in Major League Soccer. Morris is a favorite for the MLS Rookie of the Year award. He hurt his hamstring during Seattle's MLS playoff match Sunday against FC Dallas. Los Angeles Galaxy striker Alan Gordon will take Morris's slot on the 26-man USA squad. Meanwhile, USA midfielder Sasha Kljestan will be fitted with a mask after breaking his nose in the New York Red Bulls' loss to the Montreal Impact on Sunday in another MLS playoff match. The 31-year-old Kljestan is described as a possible starter in the USA's upcoming qualifiers against Mexico and in Costa Rica on November 15th. Veteran Tim Howard will be the USA's starting goalkeeper on Friday in Columbus. The 37-year-old Howard plays for the Colorado Rapids in Major League Soccer. And our VOA football fans will remember Tim had a record-setting performance at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. In the USA's 2-1 loss to Belgium in the round of 16, Howard was named Man of the Match after setting a new World Cup record for saves with 15. He says it should be a great atmosphere in Columbus on Friday night.
No better place to be for USA versus Mexico on Friday. We truly are one nation, one team. We've got fans traveling into Columbus from all 50 states, so we are going to be here in numbers. That is for certain. We've all been looking forward to this game for a while. We knew that once we got out of the semifinal round of qualifying that the hex would look something like Mexico and Costa Rica first. So, there's been a lot of anticipation for the game. Everyone's super psyched to have these boys in town on Friday.
Tim Howard says the Mexicans always provide a tough challenge.
You know, I think the Mexican squad always has very talented players. It kind of ebbs and flows depending on who the coach is at the moment and what players they pick. But it's a strong squad. You know, they don't disappoint in that regard. They always bring a team that's prepared and ready to play.
Mexico is currently ranked 17th in FIFA's world rankings, while Tim Howard and the USA are ranked 24th. At the 2014 World Cup, the Americans advanced out of a first-round group that also included Ghana. The Black Stars of Ghana did not advance after one draw and two losses, including a 2-1 defeat to the USA. The Ghanaians will continue their quest for a fourth consecutive World Cup appearance with a difficult road match on Sunday in Egypt. The Black Stars played a scoreless draw against the visiting Cranes of Uganda last month to open the final round of African World Cup qualifying. John Amoa is a veteran Ghanaian football analyst. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, asked him about Ghana's Road to Russia 2018.
Kwabena, the Road to Russia 2018, as you see now, is not as good as the previous World Cups that we've seen. Because considering the 2006 World Cup in Germany, if you consider the euphoria that surrounded the Ghanaian supporters, the various supporting groups were everywhere doing their support before, during, and after even the competition. You could see the feel in Ghana. And the same thing applied to the South Africa 2010. But it's looking as if we don't see that spirit in this coming World Cup. That is the 2018 World Cup in Russia. We don't see that spirit. You know, I don't see the supporters, you know, and I think the spirit of the game is falling. But then I am sure as time goes on, we're going to pick up.
Yeah, as you said, the euphoria is not there. Looking at Ghana's group opening game against Uganda in Tamale, you know, you said it already, the supporters were not there. You mean the fans were not talking about it? You see, comparing to the previous World Cup campaigns, it's a different. What do you think is the cause?
Well, I think that the cause would be the performance of the Black Stars. Of late, if you watch the Black Stars carefully, their performance is declining, because the spectators always go to the stadium to see the Black Stars doing well and scoring goals. But then the Black Stars' performance of late has become a little bit on the lower side, let me so say. They are not impressive as they used to be somewhere in the 2006 and in 2010. The performance, I think, has gone down a little bit.
Well, unimpressive, but let's see this weekend. Ghana is in Group E with Congo, Egypt, and Uganda. And this weekend, Egypt is hosting Ghana. Do you think Ghana is up to the task to upset the Pharaohs in Alexandria?
Cobra, I must be honest with you, this will be a very, very tough match. Ghana against Egypt in Cairo, it will be a very tough match. You know, the background is that the last time in the World Cup, when Ghana met Egypt in the same competition, you know.
But this one is moved to Alexandria, the second capital.
Yeah, very good, very good. I thank you for that correction. It's in Alexandria. Very good. You know, the last time these two teams met in a World Cup competition, Ghana walloped Egypt by 6 goals, you know, and that is something you cannot think of, you know. Egypt were prepared to revenge, but then in the match in the second leg, Egypt could score only 2-1. And so with this background, I sincerely believe the Egyptians will go all out to secure a good revenge. But Ghana, as the Black Stars as they are, the fight will not be easy. And so I think it will be a 50-50 game. But as a Ghanaian, I wish Ghana wins. But it will not be easy, Kwabena.
Yeah, people are saying the group is not all that difficult or tough group. But what do you think about who will be on top of that lead and qualify to the World Cup?
For me, Kwabena, that is a very tough group, because considering the teams you have in there, Egypt has been 7 times champions of Africa, Ghana 4 times champions of Africa, Congo has once won the cup, and Uganda, though they only were in the finals of the 1978, they've not participated in the World Cup, but in the African Cup of Nations in 1978, they were the finalists. And so it means you cannot even write off the Ugandans. Of late, Ghana has met Uganda on several occasions. And even if you could recall, the match between Ghana and Uganda at Tamale recently was very, very, very tough, and Ghana couldn't beat them. And so with me, when you have 7-time champion in a group, 4-time champion in a group, Congo once a champion, and with this boogie side, Uganda now, for me, I can even term that group to be my group of death.
It's a group of death to you, but you think there's no underdog there?
Here, if you are talking of underdogs, then I may say it is Uganda. But then, don't write off Uganda.
So who can qualify?
So if we are talking of the two groups, the two teams that would qualify from this group, I am tipping Egypt. Though I'm a Ghanaian, but Egypt can be the leaders of that group, and it will be followed by Ghana. But Ghana should be careful.
Yeah, are you deciding on Egypt now playing one game and it's on top with 3 points? Why is Ghana and Uganda have 1-1 point? Are you just clarified with this score, tabletop?
Yes, you know, Egypt, I think for some time now, has never qualified for the World Cup. And so they are going all out. They are leaving no stone unturned in their effort to get to the World Cup. And so I think Egypt will still maintain their position. Ghana cannot surpass them.
That's Ghanaian football analyst John Amoa, who is picking Egypt to book a place at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. And John was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Ghana's capital, Accra. From Ghana, let's go across the continent to Sun City, South Africa. That's where first-round action tees off Thursday at the Nedbank Golf Challenge, the latest event on the European Tour. The annual tournament at the Gary Player Golf Club has always been a lucrative and prestigious event, but it has a different look this year, a bigger look. The competition features 72 players in its elite field compared to smaller fields in previous years. South African star Louis Oosthuizen is one of the local favorites at the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Reporter Brad Hale asked Louis about the tournament's larger field of players this year.
For me that played the 12-man, the 18th, the 30-man field, I think it was a lot more relaxed. This week feels more like down to proper business tournament because it's still, you know, Race to Dubai next week. So I think it's a different feeling. But I'm still, it's a very relaxed one for me. I'm back home. I haven't been here since April, so it's great being back in SA to hear a lot of Afrikaans and the culture. It's brilliant.
But no time to see old friends, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've got a few friends coming up. Unfortunately, I'm not going down to my farm, which is sad, but I've got the wife and kids back at Palm Beach, and we'll, you know, Sunday or Monday I'm out of here to Dubai and then back home or back to Palm Beach. And I think we're coming early December, we're coming for a 5-week holiday.
I think you're seventh in the standings at the moment. Any goals, any expectations you put on yourself, or are you taking it tournament by tournament at this late stage in the season?
I need 2 massive weeks. I definitely need a very big week this week to push the guys at the top. I need a good week. I like this golf course. I won here before and, died out a long time ago. And I feel like I can play good around this golf course. So just need to get out and play proper golf.
Money helps us all, obviously, but it's also about prestige and trying to win the titles that drive you guys on, and you want to be number one, don't you?
We're very fortunate, I think, as a professional golfers with playing every week for a lot of money. And, I think it comes to a stage where tournaments and winning titles is massive. And winning a Nedbank will be great on any South African CV. And the European Tour, the Race to Dubai title will be also massive. So those are the two things I think is very big, especially for any South African playing in the next 2 weeks, is winning Nedbank and if you have a chance to win the Order of Merit.
And a few of you boys up there, aren't there?
Yeah, it's Brandon's right behind me, and And, you know, Charles done well the year before. So, and there's quite a few South Africans playing this week. So it's good. You know, it's been a while. I think the last one was Trevor winning the Nedbank. So we need to get this tournament back for our country again.
Being seventh, does that mean you've had a good year, or do you measure success by different barometers these days?
I measure it by if I was satisfied in the way I played in the Masters or in the Majors. And not that satisfied this year. Last year I was, you know, satisfied with the season I had, but this year I didn't play too great in the Majors, and need to work on my game to be ready when they come along again.
That's South African golf star Louis Oosthuizen, and Louis was talking with reporter Brad Hale ahead of Thursday's start of the Nedbank Golf Challenge in Sun City, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Once again, @VOAsunnySports. I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled, Cameroonian Center Joel Embiid Emboldens Philadelphia. And I write how the 22-year-old Embiid, after missing the past two National Basketball Association seasons with a broken right foot, is making big strides in his first year on the court. The agile big man from Yaounde has averaged about 18 points and 7 rebounds a game while being on the court for only about 21 minutes each contest. The 76ers have Embiid on a minutes restriction right now to prevent another foot injury. And I write how if Joel Embiid can stay healthy, he should be a strong candidate for the 2017 NBA Rookie of the Year Award. Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. And I have to say, Joel Embiid played college basketball at the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks, which I love dearly. So,
and he was into Kansas. Yeah, in fact, I think he was the third pick in that draft 2 years ago, and the top pick was another Jayhawk.
Yeah,
Andrew Wiggins.
It was a good year for Jayhawks. Although that means they all went off to the NBA, so they weren't on the team anymore. But nonetheless,
good year for the Jayhawks, and a good election night for Donald Trump. Is Trump and the sports beat still trending somehow, Andrew?
For sure. I mean, the election is still the talk of the country and arguably of the world. So a lot of people focusing on that. And we're starting to hear from some of the people in the sports world who were supporting either side. And we talked about on yesterday's show, Mark Cuban, of course, the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks and the National Basketball Association, was a big supporter of Hillary Clinton. So he was obviously disappointed last night, but he sent out a series of tweets that I think were trying to get the country to unite and kind of move forward. So I'll just read them quickly. The first one he sent out just after midnight, early this morning, he said, "I'm an American citizen, first, last, always." And then he said a couple hours later, "We all need to give President-elect Trump a chance, support the good, lobby against what we disagree on. No one is bigger than us all." Mm. And finally tweeting, "One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." So sending out those series of tweets, even though he was a Hillary Clinton supporter and his candidate lost, trying to get the country to move forward, trying to get the country to unify through his tweets that he sent out.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, very active in this election. I think you mentioned on one of the previous shows, Andrew, how he even attended one of the presidential debates.
He did. He was at a couple of the presidential debates when I covered the first debate up at Hofstra. I actually was just a few feet away from him. So he was up there doing some press supporting Hillary Clinton. And like I said, now that the election results come out and Donald Trump is president-elect, he's looking forward and trying to see if he can unite the people that stood behind him with Hillary Clinton.
What other sports figures are tweeting or posting on Facebook about this election, Andrew?
Well, we also talked yesterday about Bill Belichick, who is the coach of the New England Patriots in the National Football League. And Donald Trump used some comments from Bill Belichick at a rally on Monday, saying that Bill Belichick said he admired Donald Trump's leadership. Well, Bill Belichick had a press conference earlier this morning talking about this upcoming football game this week. I believe the New England Patriots are playing the Seattle Seahawks. And Bill Belichick said that he received a number of inquiries about that letter. And I just want to read his quote. He said, "I think anybody that has spent more time than 5 minutes with me knows I'm not a political person. My comments are not politically motivated. The friendship and loyalty to Donald." A couple of weeks ago, we had Secretary of State John Kerry in the locker room, and he goes on to talk about how John Kerry and Donald Trump are on two ends of the political spectrum. So he wasn't trying to be political in his letter, but he was just trying to offer words of support for somebody who he says is a friend. And then when he was pressed on that Trump victory last night, he just kept saying, "Seattle, Seattle," and interrupting the press conference, just saying Seattle. One word answer. He's focused on the New England Patriots playing Seattle Seahawks this week, and he's ready to move past this election. So in two different ways, you have these two figures in the sports world looking to move past, one trying to unify, one just wants to focus on his work and not talk about it.
Tom Brady, the star quarterback for the Patriots, also linked to Trump, Andrew. Has he been silent after the election?
You know, we haven't heard anything from him yet. And as we again talked about yesterday, his wife, Gisele Bündchen, said that she and Tom Brady were not supporting Donald Trump, or at least not voting for him. So it's going to be interesting if they come out now that Donald Trump's won, if they change their tune, say that they did vote for him or how they support him. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, obviously, the presidential election was the big news last night, but we did have some down ballot races that had some impacts in the sports world. One vote in Arlington, Texas, on a new stadium for the Texas Rangers. That vote passed. So the Texas Rangers will be getting a new stadium. And the reason why they voted on it is because part of that stadium will be financed with taxpayer money. So taxpayers voting yes on that. But in San Diego, California, a new stadium for the San Diego Chargers of the National Football League voted down. It needed a two-thirds affirmative vote. It didn't get that. So people saying that that's a victory for taxpayers. They didn't want to foot the bill for the stadium when they have owners who are multimillionaires. That was the argument against voting for and approving that stadium funding. And this is something we see a lot in the U.S. There are a lot of these measures that go up to approve funding, public funding for stadiums. It's incumbent on the taxpayers, or the burden on the taxpayers, to pay for part of this. And sometimes they vote yes and say, yeah, we'll pay for it. It'll bring in more money. And sometimes they vote no. And we saw those two results last night in those two localities.
Much like this presidential election, that can be a very divisive issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. And we'll hear from you again on Thursday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the November 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In October, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, or COMESA, launched a five-year Regional Development Objectives Grant Agreement at the 19th COMESA Summit, held this year in Madagascar. The agreement, announced in Nairobi, Kenya, provides for USAID to contribute approximately $77 million to strengthen the collaborative partnership between the two organizations and implement regional trade, investment, and agriculture development programs that contribute to their common goals. U.S. Ambassador to Zambia and Special Representative to COMESA, Eric Schultz, USAID Deputy Mission Director for Kenya and East Africa, Candice Buzzard, and the COMESA Secretary General, Ambassador Sindiso Ngwenya, signed a Memorandum of Understanding to affirm the agreement. Ambassador Schultz pointed to the continued momentum toward achieving common economic development goals by renewing the partnership. Through economic diversification, attracting more foreign investment, and reducing existing trade barriers, we can build upon our successes to date. I am confident that the new agreement will help us bolster growth and unlock economic potential among the COMESA member states. Under this agreement, COMESA and USAID will work together to achieve shared development priorities to promote sustainable regional economic integration, reinforce institutional governance and accountability by supporting the coordination of regional trade, investment, and agricultural policies, and strengthen COMESA's organizational leadership. The new agreement is not the first for USAID and COMESA, a regional economic community under the African Union with 19 member states. They have partnered since 2003 to create sustainable and integrated markets, increase the productivity of staple crops and farm productivity, promote trade and reduce trade barriers in regional markets, and support the free movement of goods and services in the region. Under a previous agreement, USAID provided $115 million to support the organization in delivering its mandate. The United States is proud to work with its partner COMESA to promote the prosperity of Africa and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the historic U.S. presidential election and how the results could change the political landscape in the United States. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.